Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. There are many great lessons in here for us. So we're going to begin with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And as we study today and read these verses, keep in mind the topic, who is Jesus Christ? Let's read John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John's gospel jumps right into the ministry of Jesus Christ and introduces the main character of his gospel by ascribing to him five attributes. Notice in verse 1, he's called the Word. Notice also in verse 1, he is called God. Notice in verse 3, he is the Creator. In verse 4, he is life. And in verses 4 and 5, he is light. The Word, God, the Creator, life, and the light of men. Five great attributes. Now, there are many things that can be said of Jesus Christ. Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of the Jews. There are so many things that can be said of him, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And so we know these things. But John gave us five major attributes in introducing the ministry of Jesus Christ that he wanted us to know. And the first thing he wanted us to know is that Jesus Christ is the Word. He says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He wants you to know that. Now, you know, this really clears up a lot of confusion because there are people who want to say that Jesus Christ is not in fact God, but that he is a lesser or created God, and that he is the Son of God in eternity. That is, that he became God's Son at some time way out there in the distant past before the creation of men. There are a lot of religions that believe that. In other words, they won't ascribe to him deity as one of the members of the Godhead. But you know what? John clears that up for you immediately in introducing Jesus Christ, because he doesn't say in the beginning was the Son and the Son was with God and the Son was God. He doesn't say that. He says in the beginning was the Word. So in eternity, Jesus Christ is the Word, not the Son. He doesn't become the Son until he is born of Mary. And then he is known as the Son of Man because she is flesh, and he is known as the Son of God because God is his Father and God is deity. But before that, Jesus Christ had existence, and his existence was not then known as the Son. His existence was known as the Word. Also in eternity future, he'll be known as the Word. In Psalm chapter 2, God is speaking, and he says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And that is a reference, a prophetic reference to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in eternity he is not known as the Son except in prophecy. He is known as the Word. Look down here at verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when he is begotten of the Father here, literally, that fulfills the prophecy of Psalm 2, and therefore then he is known as the Son. Look in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, by far the greatest verse in the Bible on the Trinity. And because there are many people who hate the fact that Jesus Christ is God, they have denied that this verse existed in the original manuscripts. And so, and they, of course, don't have the original manuscripts to verify whether the verse was in there or not. And so they say that it was not ascribed to the Bible until it came in by Erastus, very, very late, centuries after the Bible was codified. But you know, the strange thing is, back in the old days, we're talking 150, 200 A.D., and way back there, there were Bible translations that had already begun. The Peshitta, which was the Syriac version. The Old Latin was the Latin version. There were men that were writing and preaching, and some of their writings and some of their preachings are still available to us today. They wrote lectionaries. They wrote these things that go in the back of hymn books for responsive readings. There were others that wrote things to comment on the words of God. And do you know what? They quoted in their writings, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. So this verse obviously was attacked very early because there were men back then who did not agree that Jesus Christ was God, just like there were Pharisees, we'll see this in a minute, who didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God when he was here on the earth. But John knew him. John certainly knew him better than we did at the time, because John was there with him, and John knew who he was. And so John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and he said this, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." That's what he said. Notice he said there that he is the Word, and notice he said these three are one, specifically showing you the deity, or the deity of Jesus Christ, or the fact that he is God. Very, very important. Now, modern Bible scholars, many of them don't believe in the Trinity. I read a statistic one time. I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was actually about Southern Baptist seminaries at the time. I don't think they're the same today as they were back then, but there was a strong liberal influence at the time that this statistic was given, probably, I don't know, 20 years ago. And the statistic was that that most of the men who went into seminary to study to go into the ministry believed in the deity of Christ, that is, that he is God, and believed in the Trinity, and believed in the virgin birth. But by the time they had graduated from seminary, after being under the liberal influence of professors, upwards of 75% no longer believed in the Trinity. In other words, the professors had talked them out of their belief in the Trinity. So it's no wonder, with the proliferation of modern Bibles, that they could actually point to a biblical authority to say that Jesus Christ was not God. That's why we keep telling you there are things that are wrong with modern Bibles. Now, I don't know if you've got one, but you may not have found verse 7. You may have actually found the verse number and words that are in there, but you didn't find these words. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, that's a very disconcerting thing, because if you believe in the Trinity, which I presume you do, then somebody has stricken the greatest verse on the Trinity from your Bible. It's a sad thing. Revelation 19:13 also tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word, and this is his second coming when he comes back to this earth to rule. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So both sides of his earthly ministry, he is known as the Word, and that's who he is. Now, you'll remember that when God began to record for us in Genesis chapter 1 how the world came into existence, God spoke it into existence. So the Word was certainly very important then. God said, see, used words, "Let there be light." God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." God used words to communicate. So that's how we have any understanding of God at all, because he has revealed himself to us by words. The second thing we know about Jesus Christ from the text is he is God. And of course, I've already spoken some of that. But turn to 1 Timothy. He says here the Word was God. The New World Translation that is conveniently used by the Jehovah's Witnesses said he was a God. But then they would have to say that he was then created in eternity past, before the foundation or creation of the world. And that's not what John said at all. That's not what John said at all. He said he was the Word, not the Son. He said he was the Word, not a created God. That's a perversion there. The Word was God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, you'll see this again clearly in a King James Bible. We won't see it clearly in most of the modern Bibles because, again, there has been an attack, a deliberate attack on the deity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Jesus Christ being, again, the fact that he is God. Now notice 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now, the modern Bibles typically say something like, "he was," or "he who was manifest in the flesh," not ascribing that to anybody in particular. And the truth of the matter is, the devil is going to appear in the flesh during the tribulation. And so there will be confusion at that time as to what this verse is referring to. This referring to God himself being manifest in the flesh. In other words, that Jesus Christ himself is God. And it is a mystery of godliness, and therefore there are numbers of people who don't believe that. But if you subscribe to one authority, that being a King James Bible, then it will be easy for you to understand that in fact these things are so. When you have multiple authorities or multiple translations of the Bible, there tends to be confusion because somebody else can point to their translation and say, "well, it doesn't say that God himself was manifest in the flesh, and therefore we believe," and then they can espouse any other doctrine, like some espouse the doctrine that God did not actually come on the man Jesus Christ until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit anointed him, and that God left the man Jesus Christ at his crucifixion so that there was no literal bodily resurrection, and therefore there will be no literal bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't believe he's God. John clears it up for you. John tells you right up front, the Word was God, and that's because that's who he is. He is God manifest in the flesh. And according to John, there's no doubt about it. In John chapter 10, verse 33, Jesus Christ is speaking. And he's talking in context of my sheep hearing my voice and he giving eternal life to them and things like that. And he says this, "I and my Father are one." I explained that to somebody one day and he said, "oh yeah, exactly. I and my Father are one in purpose." And I said, "well, where does it say in purpose?" He said, "well, it doesn't say that, but it's implied." Well, it doesn't imply anything of the sort. He said, in fact, "I and my Father are one," period, which would match 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. It would match 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, showing you, in fact, that God and Jesus Christ are the same God, different persons, same God. You say, how is that possible? Well, there are many ways to describe it. We won't belabor the point. But one of the ways is that I am one person and yet I am three. For instance, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I am a body, a soul, and a spirit. My spirit matches the Spirit of God, who is the Holy Ghost. My soul, and you can feel a spirit, but you can't see him, just like the Holy Ghost. My soul matches God the Father, but you can't see God the Father, and you can't feel God the Father. Neither can you see my soul. Neither can you see my soul, because my soul is inside of me. And then we have Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, and that would match my body. So you see that the Trinity God and I are similar, and that's what he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In Genesis 1, 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." See that? So God, being three persons, made me, made you, made man in his likeness, having three parts. All the same person, but three parts. So the sun is like that. The sun has three types of rays: actinic rays, heat rays, and light rays. Light rays you can see, but you can't feel, matching Jesus Christ. actinic rays you can neither see nor feel, matching God the Father, and heat rays you can feel but cannot see, matching the Holy Spirit, and yet it is one sun. Water can reach what is called the triple point. Under a certain pressure and at a certain temperature, water achieves the triple point simultaneously, where H2O becomes a solid, a vapor, and a liquid. H2O in liquid is called water. H2O in vapor is called steam. H2O in solid is called ice. And it achieves that simultaneously, just like God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are at one time the same God and yet three different persons. You know, the fact that I've shown you these things doesn't prove the Trinity, but it simply gives you evidence of the Trinity. You would understand the Trinity only by belief and only by believing what God said in the Bible. Jesus Christ is God. Now, you know something? The Pharisees knew that. In John chapter 5, verse 18, Jesus Christ said that God was his Father. And when he did that, the Pharisees got very upset with him and accused him of blasphemy. Why? Because John chapter 5, verse 18, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, doing what? Making himself equal with God. You see, the religions that teach that he is not God do not believe that he is equal with God. But even the Pharisees who did not believe Jesus Christ recognized that when he said God was his Father, he made himself equal with God, and that's why they killed him. They understood it. And I understand it by revelation of the Holy Spirit in the words of God, and you understand it by the same thing. And John, who knew him personally when he was here on the earth, said he was the Word, and he said he was God. You know what? He is God. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word, and he is God, but not only that, he is the Creator. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the entire existence of everything in the universe came from Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the testimony of Paul. That's also, and you'll find that in several places. We'll look at just a few. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. One Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So we have a Creator. We didn't accidentally appear on this earth through an evolutionary process. We have somebody that originated all of this. That somebody was God. That somebody was known as the Word in eternity. And he is our Creator. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. What did he say? By him were all things created. Everything. Everything you see, everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, and all the dominions, and all the thrones, and all of the principalities, and all of the powers were created by Jesus Christ. Now, there's other evidence throughout the New Testament. I'll give you those two. In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. You can see clearly what John is telling us. You owe your very existence to Jesus Christ. You owe accountability to Jesus Christ. He is God, and you know Jesus Christ by written and verbal revelation. Right now, if you're driving in your car, you can't read, not safely, but you can hear the sound of my voice, and when I quote a verse of Scripture to you, the Holy Spirit uses that verse of Scripture to reveal to you the truth of what I am saying, the truth of his words, and then you understand the Bible and you understand God from the things that are revealed in the words of God. So he's the Word, he is God, he is the Creator, and he's life. Verse 4, in him was life, in him was life. Now there are several cross references to this that are wonderful. They're all good. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, one of the clearest verses in the entire Bible, every word in this verse has one syllable, so that if you were 5 years old, you could understand just exactly what the Bible said. All one-syllable words. Listen, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It is an amazing thing, but we spend a great deal of time preaching to lost people in a variety of ways. We knock on their doors to present Jesus Christ. We pass out tracts and preach to them publicly, visit with them in casual conversation. You would be surprised how many people reject Jesus Christ and think because they are religious or think because they have spent some time in church that somehow their eternity is going to be okay with God. While the truth of the matter is, if you have Jesus Christ in you, you know for a fact that you have life. And if you do not have Jesus Christ, you know for a fact that you do not have life based upon that verse of Scripture. I asked a fellow Saturday about his soul, and he said, I believe I'm all right. I hope I'm okay. I think I'm okay. I said, would you like to know what the Bible said so that you could be absolutely sure? He said, no, I don't. I'm fine. That's strange. Talked to another fella, knocked on his door, said he was a member of a certain church in town. I said, that's interesting. But he had been a member of a different kind of church when he was young. And I said, well, when you were younger then, did you get saved? He said, sir, I'll have you to know I was born saved. Good day, and shut the door. Well, that's impossible. If the man was born saved, then why did Jesus Christ tell Nicodemus, ye must be born again, unless you have to have two births? Well, see, if a person were to read 1 John 5:11, which I've just quoted, and believe what he read, he would know for sure whether he was saved or lost based upon whether or not he had Jesus Christ. If he had Jesus Christ, he'd have life. You see, because salvation is in a man, and in the man is life. Salvation is not in things or practices or rituals or creeds or attendances. He is life. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's exclusive. That he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the life. So there's no way to have life by any other means. You've got a temporal life here, but if you've been by any graveyard, you know this thing. And if you're a reasonable man or a reasonable woman, you know this life is going to come to an end one day. Maybe soon, maybe a while off, you don't know the time. But you know this life is going to come to an end. And I'm sure, being a reasonable person, that you would want to live forever with God in heaven much more than you'd want to live forever with the devil in hell. I'm sure of that. But for some reason, you have come to the conclusion that you can have life some other way than the way Jesus Christ said you can have life. Jesus Christ said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Why? Because he is life. Dear soul, I know you want to spend eternity with God in heaven, and I'm sure that you hope that you're going to be there. But I'm also sure that until you know Jesus Christ is in you, your hope is based upon an uncertainty of your destination. And you can be sure that if you have God, if you have the Word, if you have the Creator, and if you have life, you are going to spend an eternity with God in heaven. Simply, you can receive Him as your Savior today. Say, well, I'll wait and listen to your broadcast tomorrow. Fine, because when we get to verse 12, then you'll see clearly that Jesus said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now, not only is He life, but He is the light. He is the light. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And this light came into darkness. It shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What a lot of people don't realize, because the sun shines, I don't know, half the day, depending where you are, down in our part of the country, half the day, that they got the idea that somehow this universe is light. It's not. In space travel, we've seen the darkness that's out there. And the reason is that when God made light in Genesis chapter 1, He divided the light from the darkness. The light He called day, the darkness He called night. So we live in a universe of darkness, and when Jesus Christ came in here, He came as a light shining in this darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It's what it's like. It's like you coming out of a dark movie theater after watching a movie in the midday, what we used to call a matinee. And you'd come out into the bright light and you'd have to shield your eyes. It's like being asleep in your bedroom at night and somebody walking in at 2 o'clock in the morning and turning on the light. Your eyes close, shun from it. You don't want anything to do with it. You know why that is with mankind and why that was that Jesus Christ was eventually crucified? Because John said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So the light came into this world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, and they didn't want the light to come and reprove them for their wickedness. So what we've seen then in the introduction of the Gospel of John is this, that Jesus Christ, the main character of his gospel, the one in whom we are to believe, is the Word. So if God's going to reveal himself to you, he's going to reveal himself to you how? By words, by preaching, and by the written word in the Bible. That Jesus Christ was therefore not created, but he is God himself manifest in the flesh, and therefore you have an accountability to him directly because he has revealed himself to you by the words of God. You know exactly what he expects of you. You know exactly that he wants you to receive him as your Savior. And being God, that he will judge you if you fail to do that. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He is the Creator, so you owe your very existence and life to him. He is life, therefore you would have no breath in you whatsoever if he hadn't imparted the breath to you, and you'll have no eternal life unless he personally imparts the eternal life to you. And he is the light, so that you can find your way to heaven now and find your way through the rest of this life until you die, because he said, I am the light. And that's why today people deny the Word of God. They deny God's existence. They teach evolution. They reject the light because they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You're embarking on a great study here. You will learn a lot about Jesus Christ in the study of the Gospel of John. And more importantly, you'll understand exactly why the world has done everything they can to erase any evidence of his existence from your mind.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.